You're listening to the Apocrypha Chronicles, Season 2, Episode 5, The Outposter's Tale.
Roses loom. Jeez. Maybe I can give that to Briar. Her favorite rations, all stored so neat. All right. I know that bag is in here somewhere. She made me this bag. Wove the fabric herself. May her good soul rest easy. The biosynth from Fee. I wonder if it still works. What else? The sea glass from the sisters. Wonder where they are now. Oh, the compass. I can still get this to work. Here's the soil from the generational garden. I should have brought them some soil from here. I bet they'd have found some use for it, those gardeners. Or kept it for their archive. Oh, a carving. Eli, don't get sentimental, old man.
Hey, who's there?
Oh, better put this away.
Oh, is there somebody there?
Hi, Opa. It's me.
Oh, it's you, Ethan. Ain't you supposed to be up at your place with your mama?
I told her I was going berry picking for an hour.
And she let you go?
Pop convinced her to.
Your pop convinced her?
He said I need to be able to show that I can fend for myself. And he even gave me this knife.
I can see that. And where's your pop now?
He was going hunting. Mama's busy making beer. She won't miss me.
Find any berries yet?
I'm not actually berry picking.
I know.
Opa?
Yes, Eden?
I kind of came to check on you.
Well, that's very sweet of you, honey. I'm doing okay today.
I'm sad too.
It ain't easy when someone you love dies. I appreciate you coming around, Eden.
Opa?
Uh-huh?
Now that Oma Rose is gone and you're all alone, don't you find this room kinda spooky with all those eyes looking down at us?
Oh, them? Nah. They're just trophies. Those eyes ain't real. They ain't alive.
I know, but...
Aw, Eden, don't you worry your little head about them eyes. How many times I gotta tell you? It's just a fact of life. And I like that it reminds me where our food comes from.
I know. We gotta eat somehow, right?
That's right. One day real soon, your pop will take you out hunting. Teach you how.
I know. Opa, when I got here, I thought I heard you talking to somebody. Who were you talking to?
Oh, nobody, sweetie. Just going through some old things and talking to myself. Actually, maybe it's something you should know about. Well, I've sort of been thinking about telling you ever since Oma passed. Wasn't quite sure how. But you have to promise not to tell your pop I told you. You know how he gets.
I promise.
You gotta really promise.
I really promise. But why?
'Cause he said to me a bunch of times, don't you go telling my Eden all about your time at that mushroom sphere.
You've been to a sphere?
Yup. Believe it or not, your opa's been to a sphere.
When did you go to a sphere? And why would you go to a sphere?
Well, it was a long time ago. Your mama was littler than you are now. What year was it? 2186? About 2187, I think.
21? That's a long time ago.
I was talking to myself because I was looking at a few things I kept from that trip. Want to see them?
Of course I do!
All right, just snuggle in close here and we'll have a look. All right. Okay.
This fabric is so pretty.
It sure is, isn't it? Actually, it was your Oma Rose who made it. She made it for me to take on the trip. For good luck. All right. Okay. Let me start with this.
Oh, that's so funny looking.
It is, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it still works.
Wow, that's beautiful, Opa.
Huh. I'm really glad it still works. Your Oma didn't really like me to dwell on this stuff, so I haven't taken it out in a while.
What is it?
It's got a funny name. It's called a biosynth. It's a special kind of musical instrument. You see, it kind of works based on the mood of the person it belongs to. A dear friend named Mafi gave it to me when I was on this trip all those years ago. They used to make them. They had several of them lying around, and well, one day, when I was resting and recovering from some medical treatment, they asked if I wanted to try one out.
Why, Opa?
I don't know. Maybe they thought it might relax me. But I think they also wanted to really reach out across the differences we had. Yeah. What I mean by that is, I should start at the beginning.
Can you leave it on? Please, Opa Coyote. I really like it.
Here. Hold this. You got it? Good. This is the compass I used on that trip. You always need a good compass. You gotta know what's guiding you. And the needle still works. But it's tricky to get an accurate reading. But it helped me make my way back here from the Salish Sea.
You went all the way to the sea?
I sure did. At the time, like I said, your mama was younger than you are now. And I hated the idea of leaving her. Oh, sure. I left all the time for little hunting expeditions around here, up to Kilpula or up to Similkameen. But those were short trips. I was always back within a few days, maybe a week.
Like Pop, when he goes hunting.
Yeah, exactly like that. But this trip was gonna be different. And I didn't know how to explain it to your mama. It was too hard for me. All I could say was, I promise I'll be back as soon as I can, even though I knew it wasn't a promise I was sure I was going to be able to keep.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, it was going to be a long, potentially dangerous journey.
Why?
Well, there are lots of folks who live between here and the sea, And even though lots of them live just like we do, you know, outposter types like us, they're not necessarily all nice. You just never know who you're gonna run into.
Why?
Oh, you always gotta be careful, right, kid? Plus, once I got to the sphere, I wasn't sure how things were gonna go. There was their dang quarantine rules, and I wasn't really sure if they were going to be nice or not. You know, sphere folk are pretty different from us.
Pop is always saying they're stupid.
Well, to be honest, I didn't much like them either back then when I started out on this trip. And I could still never live the way they live, all fenced off in their villages with their rules and their rituals, and this damn show they make everybody do all the time. So, I was nervous about that. Oh, and on top of that, all I had was an old rust bucket and a bunch of biofuel set aside, and I wasn't sure how far it was gonna get me. So, I figured I would end up driving it into the ground and then doing the rest of the journey on foot, which I did. And that wasn't easy either. Because you see, I was pretty sick.
Sick?
Don't worry, I'm all better now. Those sphere folk, they fixed up your old opa. Otherwise, he may not be here today to tell you this story. They gave me good medicine. Real good medicine. Here, hand me that compass. I want to show you this now.
What's this? It just looks like a bunch of dirt inside a bottle.
Well, that's exactly what it is. But that's not just any dirt. There's knowledge in that dirt. Yeah, it helps make new medicine. It comes from a special garden in the sphere that I visited by the sea.
What does a sphere look like, Opa?
Spheres aren't as scary as people say they are. And they're nothing like anything you've ever seen. They're like a collection of villages. Let me put it to you this way. You know how around here the mountains encircle us, kind of like a set of hands cradling our river valley? Every which way you look, there's mountains.
I love the mountains.
I know you do. So do I. Well, as you move out toward the sea, they open up like hands opening into a bigger river valley with a bigger river, a much bigger river. They call it the Stalo River these days. It used to have other names. So imagine this big, wide river, brown and green, all rushing along toward the sea. And now imagine me, younger than your pop is now, walking along the old highways, along the river, and the mountains opening up like parting hands. Yeah, just like that. And eventually the air starts to smell a little funny. Oh, a nice smell. A smell you've never smelt before. A little salty, but a little fresh. And then right where the river starts to spread out its fingers to meet the sea, the city of villages is nestled right there, in between the mountains and the river and the sea. That's where I was going, and that's where this little jar of soil is from. And that's where, even though folks there really are kind of weird, well, they've got some ways of tending their gardens, and they've got a lot of knowledge. And I had heard from someone out down Osuyo's way that they could cure things that folks around here didn't know what to do with. So that's why I went there. And when I got there, well, when I eventually got there, they took me to this special garden called the Generational Garden. And they treated my sickness. and they really helped out your old opa.
Why'd you say eventually?
Well, that's also kind of a story. Here, I'll trade you. Hand me the jar and take this piece of glass.
It's beautiful! What is it?
That right there is a piece of sea glass. Comes from the seashore. The waves of the ocean tossed it around and around till they made it smooth and nice to hold like that. I kept that piece of glass partially as proof that one day I did make it all the way out to the sea. But I also kept it because it reminds me of some friends I made while I was there on that trip. I learned that lesson from some of the folks I met down there. You know how I said they have all kinds of rules?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of their most important rules is they only let you enter the sphere at a certain time of the year. The equinoxes and the solstices. And they make you do a whole bunch of things before they let you in. So, number one, I knew I had to arrive right before equinox. And number two, I knew I had to bring them a gift. An offering. Number three, that dang quarantine. These were the things that I knew going in, okay?
Okay.
Now imagine this. The special entrance to the sphere. It's like a little settlement in a clearing in the forest. These round buildings where you have to quarantine. They call it a way station. So I got there, and I really had not much of an idea what to expect. And kid, let me tell you, I was tired, and I was sore from walking for weeks. And my belly was bothering me because of my sickness. And as I was getting closer, I heard the most beautiful music. Two voices singing together.
Who was singing?
Turned out it was these two sisters. They were kind of famous around those parts for their singing. And they were waiting to get into the sphere too. See, the way it works is if there's anyone else there, you know, strangers who are also asking to be let into the sphere, well, you all have to stay together in that way station before they let you into the city. That's the quarantine. The sphere folk give you everything. They feed you, they take good care of you. But there's no way around it. You gotta wait. I'll tell you, I was antsy, kid. I just wanted to get in there and see if they could cure me and then get the hell back out again and make the long journey back here to your oma and your mama. But while we waited, I really got to know those other travelers. Got to know them real well. One of them is the one that gave me that biosynth. Hey, you still want me to keep that thing on?
Yes, please, Opa Coyote.
Guess I don't mind hearing it either, if I'm honest. Anyway, two of them were these singing sisters. Sphere folk too, but from another sphere, way up north. I guess they could see I felt like a real fish out of water, playing by their rules, conforming to their ways. Give me my river valley and nobody around for miles any day. Anyway, they were pretty kind to me. They could see I wasn't doing too well and they took care of me. And when we finally made it into the sphere, Well, one of them took me for a walk on the seashore. She found that piece of sea glass you're holding, and now you know the story of how it got from the sea all the way here into our little river valley.
Can I keep it, Opa?
Well?
Please, Opa.
I mean, you know, I would really want you to have it someday. Who knows how much time I have left, right?
Don't say that, Opa.
You know, I'm real glad I got to show it to you today. There's one more thing in the bag, but remember how I'd said there was an offering I had to bring with me so they let me in?
Uh-huh.
Well, would you like to hear it?
What do you mean, hear it? How can you still have it if you gave it to them?
That's because it's a song.
A song!
Yeah. Here, let me just switch this off. I still sing this from time to time when I'm by myself. Still blanket the island.
It's beautiful, Opa.
Thanks, sweetie.
Opa?
Yes, Eden?
Why did you keep these things all secret? I mean, wasn't Oma happy that the sphere folk cured your sickness?
Well, sure, she was. But it was a scary time for her. With me sick and gone for so long, and her all alone here with your mama. So, I think it reminded her of a time that was a hard time in our lives. And it's something that she was never really able to share with me or understand. And then, when your mama met your pop, and it turned out he really doesn't like the sphere folk, well, we didn't want to upset that cart. Can you understand that? It's just grown-up stuff.
Grown-ups sure can be complicated.
You got that right, kid. Anyway, that's why I kept this bag buried in the back of that closet all these years. Out of respect for your oma. She was a wonderful woman.
Yeah, she was.
Hey, do you want to see the last thing in the bag?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, hand me the sea glass and take a good close look at this.
Ooh, a wood carving. It's amazing. It's like kind of a mushroom?
Yeah, kind of.
Is this also from one of your friends on the trip?
Yeah, a really nice woman named Eli. She made it for me during the quarantine.
Opa, why did they make you wait and stuff? And why are they so different? Why do they want to live all shut up in communities and live with all these rules to follow? And why wouldn't they want to live out here and be all free like us?
Well, that's a real good question, kid. I used to think their way of living was wrong, and I think a lot of them would probably say the same thing about our way of living. I guess we kind of think that way about things we don't understand or don't know all that much about. It's like the woods you like to play in. When you were littler, you always wanted us to stay on the path between here and your house, remember?
No.
Well, you did. And now we can't keep you out of those woods. You love playing in there. And I think sometimes it's the same with grown-ups. Before I went, I didn't trust their kind of folk at all. At all. But since the trip, after meeting some of them, after living in their community while I was getting treatment, well, I don't see them as complete strangers anymore. More like neighbors who I would look out for, even if we're different. Look, Eden, I'm real glad you came by. It's not a part of my life I've been able to talk about often. But young folk have a way of keeping themselves open. I hope you never lose that, Eden. I've always thought you would understand why I've held on to these things.
I think it's amazing.
I do want you to have these things someday. But it'll have to wait till you're all grown up, because I don't think your pop would let me give them to you now.
That's definitely true. Plus, you'll probably need them now.
What do you say that for?
For your trip.
A trip?
It's so obvious you want to go, Opa.
Well, I'm getting old. I am old. And it might be nice to see the sea again.
and maybe say hi to a couple of friends, if they're still alive.
Like your friend who made this mushroom?
No, not her, sadly. She came from very far away, way, way east of the mountains. I know I'll never see her again.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, but why did she carve a mushroom?
You said your pop was hunting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say where he was going?
I think he said up to Mount Kobo.
Okay. And you sure Mama is busy making beer?
Uh-huh, swear.
So maybe we have time for another story? About why she carved a mushroom and everything that happened in the quarantine.
Yes, please, Opa!
All right. Well, here's what happened.
The moon that still looms as it once did before. Its cold rays still blanket the island. And those things unchanging how I do adore. But the voice of our people's gone silent. These trails of the past that I traverse alone. In sickness and my desperation, I'll wander a strange land so far from my home. And cut off my joined isolation. No memory to hold as it's all been before. Just cycles that come with each season. A witness to ruins and relics of yore. With no explanation or reason. One can't understand how it all came to be. Why can't we all suffer together? With tongues all entangled and damned to be free. With barricades light as the feather. With each generation we teach them. But unquiet minds always inclined to roam. And called out with anger for treason. For fear and retention is all that we know. Not stifled for our own protection. And out in the wilderness and the unknown makes passage for our own reflection. The moon, it still looms as it once did before. Its cold rays envelop the island. And those things unchanging how I do adore. But the voice of both parties gone silent. The spring of our time will come quickly to fall. Our chances we all better take them. The chains of our lot they do bind one and all. Can we build the courage to break them?
You've been listening to the Apocrypha Chronicles, Season 2, Episode 5, The Outposter's Tale. You heard Mela Pietropaolo as Eden and Rogi Yu as Coyote. Original music by Benton Roark and Jessica McMahon. Actors directed by Stephanie Wong. Written by Jessica Schacht and Paolo Pietropaolo. Dramaturgy and casting direction by Melanie Yates. Sound design by Rebecca Nolan. Audio producers Rebecca Nolan and Olivia Kwan. Creative producer Stephanie Wong. Executive producer Debbie Wong. Original concept by Debbie Wong and Benton Roark. Artistic directors Debbie Wong and Benton Roark. Core creative team Debbie Wong, Benton Roark, Stephanie Wong, Melanie Yates, Paolo Pietropaolo, Jessica Schacht, Jessica McMahon, Rebecca Nolan, and Olivia Kwan. This project was produced by Renaissance Opera. Music from the Apocrypha Chronicles was performed and recorded by Jessica McMahon and Benton Roark. Additional performances by Jaewon Bang on violin, Daniel Morphy on percussion, Ellen Marple on trombone, Carol Bestvater on violin, Kate Reed on viola, Vernon Regeer on cello, and Bill Brennan on percussion and piano. Additional recording engineering by Michelle LaCour. You also heard an original work by Kyle Griffin, commissioned by Renaissance Opera. Very special thanks to Victor Guerin of the Musqueam Nation for sharing his knowledge of the Hunkaminam language, and to Cassandra Blondin-Burt for sharing their imagination. This podcast was produced on the stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. The Apocrypha Chronicles was made possible through generous support from the Canada Council for the Arts and the Province of British Columbia. This season is dedicated to the memory of Olivia Kwan.